This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today we're devoting the show to one of the most important things that we can do for our overall health and wellness, and that is walking. And walking is a very sentimental thing for me, which you may find surprising. How is walking sentimental? Well, for me it is, because this is a special thing I always did with my late father. Ever since I was 3 years old in Montreal, when we would walk hand in hand on the mountain at Beaver Lake in Montreal, and it was a tradition that we continued for many years to come. I remember I learned to breathe when I walked with my dad, and I even remember doing the Walk for Millions and walking 25 miles when I was only 12 years old. Then years later, I did a relay race for a marathon on national television on the Dini Petty Show, and at that time I was much older and not in as good shape. And so doing the walk this time was really an amazing feat in itself. So when this beautiful book came across my desk, I'm going to show it to you here for the YouTube video that will come out after the broadcast, Walking Well, A New Approach for Comfort, Vitality, and Inspiration in Every Step, I was so excited to dive in. And before we meet one of the wonderful authors of this beautiful book, let me tell you a little bit about them. So Bruce Fertman brings 60 years of study as a movement artist and educator to his work, having trained in gymnastics, modern dance, ballet, contact improvisation, the Alexander technique, which I learned all about from my daughter in preparation. She's an actor and singer. She taught me all about that. Tai Chi Chuan, Aikido, Shanoyu, which is the Japanese tea ceremony, Argentine tango, and Kyudo, Zen archery. For the past 30 years, Fertman has taught in Europe, Asia, and the Americas, helping people experience the interconnectedness of physical and spiritual life. He is one of the co-authors of this book, Working Well, A New Approach for Comfort, Vitality, and Inspiration in Every Step. And just let me share a little bit about Bruce's co-author, Michael J. Gill. Michael is a pioneer in the fields of creative thinking, executive coaching, and innovative leadership. He is a fifth-degree black belt in Aikido and a gifted teacher of Tai Chi and also the Alexander technique, like Bruce. He is also a professional juggler who performed with the Rolling Stones. That's so cool. He is the author of 17 books, including the international bestseller, How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, which has been translated into 25 languages and sold more than 1 million copies. He is not on the show today, but the co-author Bruce Fertman is, and we're delighted to have you here, Bruce. Welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you.
Bruce, congratulations on this beautiful book. And I love when you say in the preface, walk while you can. And I thought this was such a wonderful phrase because really, as you write, walking is a quintessentially human experience. It's a way of experiencing a strong sense of being alive in this world. We don't take it for granted. But what I was going to say is that sometimes we do take it for granted, and we shouldn't, because walking is so important. So I love that you said this line early on in the book. Can you tell us more about your brainchild and what inspired you to write Walking Well?
Well, I've been teaching movement, teaching people how to move well for my whole life since I was 12. So as my career developed, I worked mainly with performing artists for many years. And I worked with people who were interested in developing a very high level of coordination, be it, you know, athletic coordination or very fine motor coordination like a musician needs. And at some point, I really wanted to help everybody learn how to move well and didn't want it to be reserved just for, you know, performing artists. So I was trying to figure out what's the best way in to the, you know, to just people's lives that are just busy living their lives and doing what they have to do. And really the common denominator for almost all of us in terms of a movement life is walking. You know, we're at a computer and we're doing something there. And then we think, oh, I need to go into the kitchen, make a cup of tea or coffee. And then we're not aware of it, but actually we get up and we walk over there. We don't notice it because we're thinking about the next thing that we want to do, make the coffee. Yes. And then so then we're there and we're doing that. And then we want to go back to the computer. And so we walk back. But we're really walking pretty much all through the day, a little bit here, a little bit there. We get out of the car. We walk to the store. We walk back from the store to the car. And there's this walking movement. It braids through the whole day. And most of the time, we just don't really register it.
Yes.
And so it's there. It's like just in our lives all the time. And Michael and I wanted to write a book that would not be just about walking for exercise, which is wonderful. Walking, I call it hatha walking. Mm-hmm. Instead of hatha yoga, hatha walking. And, you know, it's great. Yeah. You do it for your health. It feels great. I encourage everyone to do it if they can. But we wanted to explore the theme of walking in a bigger way. And I think the book does that. It approaches it from really many, many perspectives. And by the end of the book, you really are aware whenever you're walking. And it makes you, it wakes you up through the whole day. You become aware of your movement life through your whole day after working on it for a year or two.
You know, another one, I love that. Thank you for that wonderful explanation. And I have to tell you that I love that you say in the book, do it even for 12 minutes outside. And there was something about that number that's so magical. You're not making it into this huge thing that nobody can achieve. But to start off, just walk 12 minutes a day. You say ideally morning and then again at night. But even if you can just do 12 minutes outside in the fresh air and sunshine, it's so powerful. So I started my day today, even though I had a very hectic day with family and getting the show together. I said, you know what? I've got to do what Bruce is suggesting and just start the day in that invigorating way. And I don't know if wherever you are, we're here in Toronto right now. Where are you coming from?
I'm in New Mexico.
But the weather, like the summer weather is sort of changing here and it just became very brisk and it was so beautiful to start the day and it really changes your whole outlook.
Yeah.
And I love that you say that in the book. It takes the pressure off it being such a big deal. Mm. Go for a 12-minute walk. Start there.
Absolutely.
It's fabulous.
You know, this is a kind of funny example, but I went to a dentist once. And the woman who was like the dental hygienist, she was saying, you know, how great it is to floss your teeth. And so then she said, well, listen, Bruce, just floss two teeth. That's all. Just two. Right?
Yeah.
And you know, take 10 seconds, no, 5 seconds. And then little by little, I was flossing all my teeth. And it's a little bit like that with walking. If you just like say, you know, 6 minutes in one direction and 6 minutes back. It's like 10 minutes, you know, 5 minutes out, 5 minutes back. And when you start to learn what Michael and I are teaching you in the book, walking starts to feel good. I mean, really feel good in your body. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, you just said, well, you know, I think I'll just walk a few more minutes. And before you know it, you're really walking. And it's good to start humbly, you know, like, no big deal. Just take, you know, 12 minutes. So I think that's a good point.
It's so doable. And I love that you say that so much. And you've said that if you go for a 12-minute walk once or twice a day, you'll experience such positive results. And as you write, according to the American Heart Association, a 12-minute walk produces significant metabolic benefits. And can you tell us more just even about the benefits of that 12-minute walk and why doing it outside in particular, as opposed to on a treadmill, whenever possible, doing it outside gives you that added feeling good, healthy boost and inspiration.
Yeah, well, I'm not the medical person. Michael is more the researcher. I'm sort of the nuts and bolts person that actually teaches people how to walk well. But I can tell you that being outside is helpful. And especially if you're lucky enough to be able to go outside and feel a little bit like you're in nature, because nature helps terrifically. However, just getting out of your house, for some of us that are working indoors all the time, you know, just getting the space to open up, just to feel less restricted and it's just helpful. It's just to get up and walk as yes. more. So yeah, walking in nature, they've done studies where they had people who walk in cities and people who don't walk in cities and people who live in the country but don't walk and people who live in the country and do walk. And they've done all the studies, and it's the combination of walking in nature, that combination of the walking and being in nature, where all kinds Absolutely. Of good things metabolically happen. So
yes,
that's always great. But you know, let me mention something. It's a little off track there, but it's important. Is when we started to write the book, Michael and I realized at one point that not everyone feels safe walking, particularly by themselves. And yes. we sort of woke up when this idea hit us, because we're rather privileged and we live in places that feel relatively safe to us. And we go out and we're all right. Well, I'm going to go out for a walk, you know?
Yes.
And it made us realize that lots and lots of people don't feel entirely safe now.
Yeah.
It's a sad statement about the world. But I realized when I finished writing this book that to really feel good when you go out and walk, you do need to feel safe.
Yeah.
And that many of us don't.
So interesting.
And then it made me really, it almost made me feel a political purpose around this subject of walking, that mm-hmm. Michael and I really do want everyone, we want to live in a world where everyone feels safe walking.
Yes.
And yes. So I just mentioned that because that's so basic, we take it for granted, and we shouldn't. We'd like to live in a world where people feel safe walking.
That's very true. I actually talked to a client about this because she is a walker, and I talked to her about how going for a walk is great, but sometimes you need to do it with someone. So that's another suggestion. And I know you get way into this later on the book, and I have a question about it, but walking partners, whether it's family members and whether it's a business meeting, whether it's your, you know, your partner, your kids, there's so many people you can walk with, but even finding a neighbor or a person that you can walk with to make it just, you know, more enjoyable, safer, especially at certain times of the day. So that's another thing to notice, you know, put those feelers out to get that walking buddy. And that walking mm-hmm. buddy can change. Maybe it's a different buddy on the weekend than it is on a weekday or at different times of the day. But really great so that you have that safety, because you're so right. That's very, very important. Part one of your book, and I love the way the book is divided into three sections, and we'll start with the whole part about comfort. And as you write, making yourself as comfortable with every step you take. And there's all sorts of ideas here. The first step you say is allowing. The second step is embracing. The third step is peeling. And I'm just wondering if you can tell us a little bit more.
One thing that's really, again, we take it for granted is that we can't walk without the ground. You can't take one step. It's impossible. I mean, walking is not an action that we can just do because we want to do it. It's an interaction. It's a mm-hmm. certain way that humans can interact with the ground. Now, we're bipedal, yes. and we have this particular way of locomoting, but we can't do it without the ground. It's just not possible.
Right.
But we don't think about right. the ground when we go for a walk. We just say, I'm going for a walk. And we think of it as an act, an action, an activity, but it's actually an interaction. So when we start mm-hmm. to teach walking, we start with the feet, because that's actually where walking begins. There's something that goes on between what turns out to be your back foot and the ground that gives you the power to locomote yourself forward. A little bit like how a paddle going in the water when you're in a canoe, when it starts to go back, the canoe moves forward. So we can't just yes. go forward. Something has to go back that moves us forward. And then there's the quality of, you know, using the canoe as the analogy, there's the paddle and the surface of the paddle and the water, and how they interact with each other. So mm-hmm. the human foot needs, for it to interact well with the ground, it needs to be allowed to do what it wants to do. That's where the word allow mm-hmm. comes in. A lot of people are taught to do certain things correctly with their feet when they walk. Their point might, you know, your toes should point forward, you should be quiet, you should take a big step, you should take a little step, you should your knees should do this, like all this stuff we've been taught. But actually, we don't need to be taught how to walk, really, because babies, they figure it out by themselves. They don't need anyone to teach them how to walk. And so what Michael, our methodology is based on getting rid of all this crazy stuff that we think about and getting back to our animal bodies and the knowledge that our animal body has about walking. It already knows how to walk well. So getting the feet to, allowing the feet to come down how they want is the first thing.
Yes.
Now, let me go into the second one. The unbracing is really important because what humans do with their feet without knowing it, adult humans, is they tense their feet right before they touch the ground.
Yes.
So learning how to not let your feet tense up right before they touch the ground is really, really important. And as soon as you start to feel what it feels like when your feet are not tensing up before they touch the ground, suddenly the ground, the relationship between our feet and the ground changes. And so this, Michael and I start teaching people very systematically, very sequentially from the ground up to get really comfortable walking. And then what happens eventually is you rediscover the naturalness of walking, that it's built in, that the naturalness of walking is built into our body. And we just need to learn how to get out of the way, actually.
At one point, I remember in walking, I remember thinking, is it heel toe? Is it toe heel?
Yes.
What part of your foot do you put down? It's almost like, no, just forget all of that and just come back to the natural ability, like an animal or a baby.
Like an animal.
Is not saying these things, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
And that's why we use very many animal images, really playful animal images that just get people loosened up. And then, and playful, which is really important. And then it comes back. And that's a big part of the book. A big part of the book is methodology around walking.
Mm-hmm. You talk about peeling. And I know you use the example, you suggest thinking of a banana peel, thinking of peeling a banana. So how does that relate to this third part, the peeling, the third step?
Yeah. Well, you know, when we're walking, the foot rolls. There's a roll, what we call a rolling point of contact. So your foot may come down slightly closer to the area of the heel, and then there's a rolling motion, like a wheel rolls along the road. The foot rolls a little bit like a wheel, and we want to get that rolling action happening. And what prevents the rolling action from happening is when the ankles remain flexed, when the ankles remain tight. Yeah. And I'm telling you, 90% of adults walk around with tight ankles. So, so if the ankle is braced and held in flexion, the foot cannot roll fully. And when the foot doesn't roll fully, you just don't get anywhere near as much power. So what's really great is there is a way of generating power without using force. It's through getting the joints so free that the power just starts being there. You know, the body's so powerful by
nature. Inherent.
Yeah, it's inherent power. So it's so much of what we do is to get people to get out of the way, to learn how not to restrict their body is really how to say it. And then once they're not restricting themselves, they start moving freely. And then they move freely, they start to feel comfortable. And then out of the comfort comes a kind of power, a vitality. Yes. That's what we're interested in. We want people to have vitality. Cool. Yeah.
That's so great. You write also about that there's a very important difference between transportational walking. We talked about that before, like going from the grocery store to your car, going, you know, to get, you know, whatever, to get your coffee in the morning, whatever it is, and transformational walking. Can you elaborate on that? Actually, don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
When we're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And I'm here with author and walking expert, Bruce Furtman. And just before the break, Bruce, I was asking you about transformational walking.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we talk about transportational walking, inspirational walking, and transformational walking. And again, you know, it's nice to be playful around the subject. So transportational walking is about getting from A to B. And it's very necessary for us. And it's great that we can do it. So that's good. It's wonderful if you can start to become aware of transportational walking, like just walking from your car. We tell people, park as far away from the store as you can. Don't try to park as close to the store. Park as far away and then start to really enjoy that walk, right? That's transportational walking. You know where you're going. I'm going into the store. But to feel that you're transporting yourself. So that's transportational walking. We want to wake that up. Inspirational walking happens when you walk enough, and especially when you walk well, and you generate, and you know, and you learn how to breathe well, which is really important. And we write a lot about that. You get more oxygenated blood everywhere, but particularly to your brain. The brain needs 20% of that oxygenated blood. You know, it just uses a lot. And it needs a lot to think clearly. So when you start to walk and you're getting comfortable and your vitality is increasing and your breathing is really working well, your brain lights up. And that's why we tell people, don't go for a walk without a notebook, without a little notepad and a pencil, because the ideas are going to pop up and you're going to get home and you're not going to remember them. So that's inspirational walking.
You could write a song. You could write a song on that walk. You could connect to the, you know, we're a very musical show here. So you could be writing, you could be composing. So many things happen.
Absolutely. I mean, Michael and I basically wrote our book walking. We would go for walks and then we would write down the ideas and we'd come back and write down, you know, and put them in the computer. But most of the ideas about the book came from walking, but as we were walking. And then transformational walking is really, it's my favorite part of the whole thing. It's what I most care about. And it's when you're not walking to get from A to B. You're walking. That's all. And you're in a space that you have arrived, I should say. You're not going anywhere to arrive anywhere. You have arrived. You are where you are. You're traveling from here to really here. And it's not about accomplishing anything, your health, not about anything. It's just being alive, walking, and seeing, getting in touch with yourself, getting in touch with where you are, and that's all. And walking is conducive to getting in touch with yourself. That's why people do it. They say, I have to go out for a walk. You know, we've known this forever.
Yes. My dad used to say, it clears out my head. If I have a problem or an issue or something that I want to work out, I go for a walk and it's solved on that walk. And it just clears out my head to be on that walk.
Yeah. So we want to encourage people to get away from, you know, as wonderful as computers are, and you know, I love being able to do this with you, and it wouldn't be possible without this kind of technology. I think it's fantastic. And that said, it's so important to find the antidote to technology. It's that kind of high tech, high touch. So when you go out to walk, you don't need anything except you and the ground and the space. So there's no technology. There's no prosthesis. You don't need anything. You just take your body out there
and you go.
And
you also don't need to depend on anyone. Like often in an exercise class, you have to depend on the class, the instructor. Or I know I just said walking with a buddy if safety is a concern. But one of the beauties of walking is you can literally just take yourself. I have a wonderful friend who said to me, Judy, get up and lace up. Just get up in the morning, have those running shoes by your bed and lace up. And I started to do that. And it's so true. You don't have to depend on anyone but yourself. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. And the earth, which is so interesting. And the earth.
And the earth. Yes.
And I talk about that a lot in the book. We talk about this a great deal because it's like if you're going to go on a road trip, which I just did, you need your car, you need your vehicle, right? That would be your body if we're walking, right? It's like a mobile home, so to speak. But you know, there's no way of going anywhere without the ground. There's no way without gravity in the ground. If the ground is a wreck, it's going to not help the trip. It's going to make the trip difficult, right? So starting to feel that the ground is essential to your well-being. You know, out here in the Southwest, this, you know, we just call this the Big Mom. You know, that we live in the Big Mom.
Beautiful.
She's under us, right? She's around us because that's the troposphere. That's the atmosphere we live in, right? And she's over us. That's the ozone layer. So when I go outside for a walk, I'm really not going outside. I never really feel outside anymore. I'm inside. And so it's an interesting thing. It's like, yes, get up, lace up, right? Like there's this will involved and we are important. We're a really important piece of this. You know, yes, I'm going out for a walk. And we never walk alone. You cannot walk by yourself. It's this interaction. And
that's
to start
great.
To feel it, that, oh, this is what allows me to walk, gravity in the ground and my body, you know.
And
when all this starts to come together, this is also builds vitality.
Yes. And I want to get to that. And I want to say something else is what I realized from this is when you get to that place, then you don't need a podcast in your ear. You don't need your phone and having someone to talk to. You don't need all this frippery. You've got the best walking partner, Mother Nature, and the ground.
Yes.
And yourself.
Yeah,
that's
a really great point. It's a great point. It's again, you know, it's not like it doesn't have to be an either or. But we do want it to be both. For example, we write in the book, and Michael knows a lot about this, is there are businesses that instead of meeting in a room, they go for walks together and they hold their meetings while they're walking. Or you could be having a meeting with someone across the world, but you could say, let's do this on a walk. How about we both go walking and work this out? And so you can be online. I have a friend who runs a beautiful mosque in this way out in the mountains in the Southwest, Rafat. And he listens to inspirational teachers early in the morning. He gets up at 5 o'clock and he walks into this beautiful canyon that the mosque owns. And he's listening to his teachers that he loves. Mm-hmm. And that counts too. You can walk with the wise, we call it. And so you can incorporate technology. And that said, there's nothing better than walking in solitude. 99% of my walks, I walk alone in solitude. And that's my spiritual practice.
Yes.
So
yes.
Both are great. Do both.
you mentioned on the show one of our favorite meditation gurus known as the father of mindfulness, and that's Thich Nhat Hanh, who suggested, and I quote you from your book, as we walk through life, we allow our breathing to flow gracefully like a river, and that we affirm, and that here I quote, breathing in, I calm my body, breathing out, I smile, dwelling in the present moment, I know this is a beautiful moment. It's a meditation. It's a walking meditation when you can walk with yourself with nature, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, walking can be, I think it's everyone gets it that walking has a meditative element. That's why people say, I need to go out for a walk, you know, but you know, you can cultivate that ability. You can nurture it. You can cultivate it. Michael and I have, you know, trained. We've lived very disciplined lives. You know, we've trained. So there is something to be said to studying things in depth. Yes. And the book is a great beginning. And then, like, in 2 days, I'm going to start a 9-day retreat. And we study together morning till night, you know. So we spend the mornings getting our bodies really, really open and organized and our senses open. And then we go out late afternoon and we don't come back till sunset. And we're out in places where there are no one and it's gorgeous and beautiful and silent and quiet. And we do that for 9 days. And you're different by the end.
Different. How so? How would you say you're different?
Well, you know, I've thought about myself as an educator really my whole life. But now what I'm finding is in the way that I'm working with people now, that there's a healing that takes place. It's education is part of the process toward a healing. And when I use the word healing, I have a very specific image in mind. It's a little bit like a wound. Like if you get a cut on your skin and your skin separates and then there's a separation, there's a division and it's painful. And then it's like magic, but this over time it heals and then it's all one surface again. Like there's no even remnant of that it was wounded. You know, it's a completely woven back together. And I would say that what happens at the end of these nine-day retreats is everything feels that it's all back together again.
Wow. That's a powerful image.
That instead of being scattered about and everything going all different directions, it's like, whoa.
Wow.
Like this.
Wow.
It's kind of, it's just
that's a very evocative.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
We're hoping to open up this world. We want to help a lot of people with this book a little bit. We want to help a lot of people a little bit and open a door for them and then kind of support them on that journey because we don't have illustrations in our book. So we direct them to a website, walkingwell.com. And then what we're hoping to do is to continue to be able to educate people through that website. And so people can read the book and get excited about it and then to go on and study. That's what we would like.
So great. You've mentioned vitality a few times and in part two, which you call vitality, you offer some very practical methods that teach the reader how to receive energy the moment it's expended, how to discover the harmony of walking and breathing. And even, I love this, how to awaken an archetypal animal verb so that every step becomes poised and powerful. Can you just say a little bit on this about how some of the practical methods that you teach the reader on how to get the most out of their walking experience? I love that poised and powerful like an animal. Like, that's great.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have been fascinated by animals forever. And you can see it in our mythology, you know, just sphinxes and centaurs. And, you know, we have so many hybrid examples of people who are part animal, become part animal. And we have it in contemporary mythology, like the Black Panther or Avatar, or right? And so we want this vitality and naturalness and unneuroticness that we see in wild animals. Right? This spontaneity, this instinctive intelligence, and this connection with the environment and the alertness and the readiness. And we're attracted to animals. So movement educators have been using animal imagery to get people moving well forever. you know, martial artists, mm-hmm. yoga teachers. I mean, hundreds of animals, right? And they do that because it works. So if you can get, no matter how educated a person is, you know, Michael and I are very well educated, but we get people pretending they're 8 years old and imagining animals because it gets them walking well, right?
Yes, yes. I love that you say exploring AI, which is not artificial intelligence. It's so refreshing, but animal imagery. AI is not artificial intelligence, guys. How refreshing to hear this.
Yeah.
So much better. And you even talk about how you ask people what animal qualities they wish they had. Heightened senses, power, strength, speed, flight, grace, agility, instinctual intelligence, spontaneity. You just mentioned this one, but I love this one, an unneurotic mind.
Yes.
Integration with the natural world, innocence.
Yes.
And energy. So this is just gorgeous, gorgeous stuff to get connected.
I'm so glad you appreciate that. I really do. I've been a very serious movement teacher all my life, but I choose to do it playfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so great. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it and to get people excited about it.
Seriously playful and playfully serious.
It's so great. There's so much to talk about, Bruce, that I don't know, maybe we need three episodes here, but you're going to have to come back on again. But
I'd be happy to.
It's so great. There's a section where you talk about the four dignities. What are the four dignities and what role do they play in walking?
Yeah. Well, this is something that Michael found, this idea how there are multiple traditions, that movement traditions that talk about lying down, sitting, standing, and walking as dignities. And I thought, yes, that is exactly how I feel about it. And so, for example, if people aren't allowed to, well, let me go about it this way. So think about Gandhi's salt march, right? When he's attempting to liberate India from the British Empire. And he goes on a march and he starts with a small group of people. And as he's walking to the sea, it turns out that thousands of people start joining him on this walk. Right. And the word that you just see it when you watch it, like the videos of this walk, it's so dignified. Walking is so dignified. And it's the way they were expressing their dignity as humans. We will walk together. Right. And then when we talk about taking a stand on something, you know, there's something about uprightness, and I'm taking a stand on this. There's dignity in that. And when people sit down, when they have a sit down strike, a sit in, I'm sitting here. I'm not moving.
Grounded.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, or we even talk about a chairperson, like, you know, a chairman, a chairwoman, a chairperson. You know, there's something, there's potential dignity in these simple things, in how we sit, in how we stand, in how we walk, in how we speak. And I see, and this gets into this interest I have in physical life and spiritual life. So, yeah, what is that? I mean, that's the riddle for me. That's been my riddle. The first time I saw a picture of the Buddha, I was getting ready to be bar mitzvah. And my rabbi said, Bruce, if you want to understand one religion, you have to understand at least two. So go and study two more religions this year, aside from your Judaism. So I picked Quakerism and Zen Buddhism. So here I am. I'm this 12-year-old gymnast. And I'm starting to research Zen Buddhism because of my rabbi, my brilliant rabbi. Wow. And I see this statue of the Buddha. And I look at this guy, and the very first thing, being 12-year-old gymnast, is I say, he's got a beautiful body. Look at that beautiful, balanced, open, relaxed, strong body, right?
Wow.
And then I looked at him and I said, and he's so calm. And that I didn't understand. I said, what is that? Because I was such a hyper kid. right? So I'm saying, I want to know what that is. Like, what is this connection between that body and that mind, you know? And that's been my riddle my whole life since I was 12 years old.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
That's really
and
fabulous.
So
yeah.
This book is a little bit, you know, it's a little bit about that.
I love that. Thank you for that story. That was beautiful. Part three of your book is all about inspiration. And we talked about, I mentioned my dad, how walking can really help you with challenges or problems. And we could get more into this. You guys have to read the book. You have to read Walking Well to read all about this, the whole section on inspiration and what that means. And it's so fabulous because you talk about how you write a study of history's most inspired thinkers were devout pedestrians. And whatever the challenge or problem or issue, the situation is always improved by a good walk. And you've talked about that. And there's also this wonderful section in the book where you talk about the seven habits of highly creative walkers. And as you write, what are these seven habits? One, to adopt a creative mindset, to take yourself lightly. Don't take yourself so seriously. Cultivate confusion endurance. Record and stream your ideas, which you've talked about when you're going on the walk. Make mind maps. Invoke your muse and tune in. I wanted to go through all of them, and I know we don't have time, but can you just say a few words about what it means to adopt a creative mindset when you're walking?
Well, I must confess that this whole section is really inspired by Michael Gelb. Michael Gelb has been an innovative speaker and coach for decades, and he basically goes into businesses, big corporations, and work with executives around this material. So this is really his baby. But if I speak about it from my own experience, creativity is really almost the most important thing in my life. It's like creativity has to do with really opening yourself to ideas that come from someplace else besides you. It's like our job is to wake up and open ourselves and become a kind of open vessel so that we pick up whatever we pick up. And then suddenly something bubbles up from who knows where, and you got to catch it. You have to catch it, and you have to write it down, and then you have to do something with it.
Yes.
Right? It's not enough just to have it. You have to do something with it. So this book is really about generating the energy and the openness so that things can bubble up.
Yes.
And then and then when they bubble up, the guy you want to study with is Michael. And then he has this way of helping you work with your creative insights. So, you know, the whole book is an example of creativity. The whole book really is
it's
a creative act.
It's beautiful. And like the Buddha, if you're grounded and calm, so much more creativity will come to you. You will be open and receptive and able to hear it and feel it and see it when you're calm. So what a beautiful way to get there.
Yeah, actually, that's a very, very good point. And it's why we emphasize the ground so much, because we want I want a grounded exuberance, you know, like
nice.
Exuberance is wonderful. It's about the best. But if we lose the anchor, then we can get all over the place. So this combination between stability and mobility is essential, between balance, stability. And that's what we're knowing how to sit is so important, because it's in the sitting that you learn to develop balance, stability. And then sitting well is inside of standing well. The way you sit is going to be the way you stand. And the way you sit and stand is going to be the way you walk. And so the sitting practices develop this stability. And then the walking practices develop this mobility. And that's what we want. We want to be stable, and we want to be mobile, and not just physically mobile. We want mobility of mind. We want to be able to move, to not, be stuck.
And spirit. Mobility
and
of
spirit.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Yes,
right? All of
absolutely.
It. So you might have answered this already, but there is a question that
go ahead.
Ask everyone at the end of the show. And of course, I'm going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Bruce Burtman?
What is bliss? Well, I'll just tell you what it is for me now. Is because I'm 73 and I've lived really, really full, rich, privileged life. I am really ambitious now for other people. Like, you know, for me, life is icing on the cake now. Like, I could go tomorrow, it would be fine. Thank you. It was great. You know? So now it's like I'm really ambitious for other people. I have this young family that lives next to me that helping me with my walking way projects, and we've adopted each other. And man, I just want everything for them, you know? And
that's so nice.
And for my young students, I have so many students, and some of them are really young now. And because I'm a young elder, because I'm only 73 and my teachers taught until they were 100. So, yeah. But I am a young elder. And so young people are getting drawn to me and I'm ambitious for them, you know? So that's really my bliss at the moment.
It's beautiful. You're doing some great work in this world. I have to tell you, it's just, I don't know, God's work. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's just, I encourage everyone, honestly, you know, I have a lot of authors on the show, as you all know, but there's just something about walking well that I really think can touch and reach everybody in your heart, in your soul, and hopefully even in your feet.
Yes.
What is the best way, Chris, for people to get in touch with you, contact you, get your hands on this beautiful book, connect with you on social media, all the rest?
Okay. Well, let's see. As I mentioned, you know, when the book comes out on September 3rd, you'll be able to go to walkingwell.com. And I think that's the simplest thing. Just go to walkingwell.com, because once you're there, you'll be able to get in touch with Michael. If you want to contact Michael, you'll be able to get in touch with me. You'll know what Michael's doing. You'll know what I'm doing. You'll know what we're doing together. So the book is Walking Well. The website is walkingwell.com, and that's the way you stay in touch with us.
I really want to thank you, Bruce, very much for being on the show today. It's really been an honor to have you here. Honestly, it's very meaningful and emotional.
Oh, well, great.
I don't know.
And likewise, Judy, thank you so much for inviting me.
That's so great. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, singing us out of the show is the beautiful artist, Layla. We'll tell you all about her and hear her music right after this. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And I'm so excited to share the music of a wonderful artist, Layla, with you right now. And before we hear her gorgeous song, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Layla is a dynamic Toronto-based pop artist renowned for her infectious anthems, raw vulnerability, and delightfully chaotic energy. Drawing comparisons to Ariana Grande, Chappell Roan, and Sabrina Carpenter, she captivated audiences nationwide with her debut EP, Heart Doesn't Work Like That, which earned significant airtime on CBC Radio and was celebrated at Toronto's Pride Festival. Her upcoming single, Talk, which is set for release in September, heralds the launch of her next project. Layla has also made her mark as an actor with a memorable role in the series finale of Netflix Glamorous, sharing the screen with Sex and the City star Kim Cattrall. You can follow Layla on all of her social media platforms. Hello, it's Layla on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Let's all have a listen to Layla.
You got me feeling sparks brighter than the 501, but I know how this works. It'll end in the dark. Set a fire that burns me to the ground. I'll be left in ashes for longer than the love even lasted. Lately I've been wondering, does my heart even work? Oh, I just wanna have fun again, but I don't trust myself, so I blame it on my mental health. Time to heal. It's happening again. You got me feeling butterflies, but I know it's a real bad sign, 'cause I can see the end. You're blowing up my phone, saying you just wanna hear my voice. All I really wanna say is I miss you, but I don't.
So beautiful, Layla. Thank you so much for that. Each week, we spotlight a singer-songwriter or musician on the show. If you're a singer, please reach out to us. And if you're an author like Bruce Furtman, or an artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we would love to hear from you. Also, what did you love about today's program? Are there any guests or topics you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I am the Bliss Coach. That means I can help you find your bliss, gain clarity, find your passion, calling, your purpose, find out what lights you up, and help you achieve that. Reach out to me at findyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app, and all you have to do is search up Judy Liebrach. And of course, you can always follow us at the Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. In Bliss News, we're so excited to announce that Fertility Matters Canada is hosting their fourth annual Fertility Matters 6K run this weekend. It all began today and it continues tomorrow on September 22nd. The 6K distance represents the 1 in 6 Canadians who are affected by fertility challenges. Historically, the run is a virtual 2-day event, but this year they're excited to present their first in-person 6K run, taking place in Toronto at Marilyn Bell Park on Sunday. That's tomorrow, Sunday, September 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So this means there are two ways to participate this weekend, virtually and in person. If you choose to participate virtually, virtual participants can choose a date, time, and location that works best for them. They can then assemble a team to walk, run, or wheel together. The virtual event is designed so that all Canadians are able to participate no matter where they're located. Proceeds from the annual fundraiser will go directly to supporting Fertility Matters Canada and their federal fertility advocacy strategy to achieve universal and equitable access to fertility care all across the country. The goal for the fourth annual Fertility Matters 6K is to reach 500 participants and raise $250,000 before the end of September. All Canadians are encouraged to participate, whether you're a fertility patient, a fertility professional, or a supporter. Visit the Fertility Matters 6K website, and you can do that by going to www.fertilitymatters6k.ca to learn more. To donate, build a team, or register as an individual participant for the Fertility Matters 6K on September 21st to 22nd, 2024. Good luck, everyone. I would like to thank our wonderful guests, Bruce Burton and Layla, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Meg Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, producer Olivia Weatherall, associate producer Olivia Vigiani, associate producer Eva Shabatai, audio engineer Juliana Yanniciello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. We're going to close out the show today with a short meditation, and here it is. Let's all begin by taking in a nice deep breath and hold it, and then let it go slowly and evenly. Now, I want you all to imagine the word calm as a color. What color would the word calm be for you? So picture that color of calm, and take in another breath here, in through the nose, holding it, and then letting it all go in a nice long exhale. If you can imagine your stress as a color, what color would that be? Picturing your stress as a color, breathing in here, deep inhale, letting it all go. And remember when I said before to imagine calm as a color? Well, now I want you all to just breathe in the color that you imagined for calm, and then breathe out the color that you imagined for stress. Let's all do that together, breathing in calm, thinking about that color, and breathing out stress, imagining that stress for color as well. And let's end this meditation by taking in some nice, deep, super slow breaths. Why don't we do 5-5-5 breathing? It works really well. Let's all breathe in for 5. Holding it for the count of 5 at the top. And then letting it go to the count of 5. And another deep inhale right in. And then letting go. Letting be, letting it all go. And whenever you're ready, gently open your eyes, come back to the space, stretch and yawn. You can smile here as well. And return back to the room, and wishing you all a wonderful rest of your day. For everyone here, I'm Judy Lee Brack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.